Okay, take your Bible and go to 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10, please. I want to say my wife, Sharon, usually travels with me. However, she's not traveling with me now. She hasn't for over 2 years now. Marital problem. No, not marital problems. Her mother is almost 103 years of age. One of the sweetest, most godly mother-in-laws you would ever want to have. And yet she's still living, almost 103. So we made a priority to take care of our parents. And so we're doing that. It's a biblical thing. And we thank God for her life. But I do miss having my wife not with me. And she would love to be out here. She loves Arizona. And so I know that she's praying for these meetings, and we're trusting that what we give you will be a help to your life. Pastor asked when I give my testimony of how the Lord dealt my home, and I do want to do that. But I do want us to quote a verse, first of all, which I taught you in the first service, Galatians 6:14. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's all say that good and loud one more time, okay? Here we go. Galatians 6, verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now I'm very careful when I give this testimony. I really am. We are here not trying to show you anything about us that to point it toward us. It's all pointing to the Savior. You know, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:10, that in the passage I had you turn to, the first part he said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Now look here, people. By the grace of God, Jerry Savinsky is what he is. I'm telling you, it's by the grace of God I'm even in this platform, that I'm even preaching. And I'm going to tell you the story, and I hope it'll be a help to your life. But again, it's to exalt the Savior of what He did in our home, all right? Let's bow our heads and pray, and I'll give the testimony. Heavenly Father, we are grateful today that we can present how You had worked in our lives as a family, and what You've done, Lord, because of our Savior. And so may it have been encouragement to Your people. We pray for anyone who's not saved, listening, Father, they'll come to Christ. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I was brought up in a small town called Arford, West Virginia. I live so far back in the country that the road ends right in front of our house. It's the end of a holler. You may call a valley out here in Arizona, but it's at the end of a holler. And the man who owned the place wrote me a letter many years ago, and here's what he said. He said, Jerry, I wonder how God ever found you to call you to preach. You know something, congregation? Regardless of where we live, the Lord knows us, and God sees us. Psalm 139, 7 through 10, whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the earth, even there thy hand shall lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. 2 Chronicles 16:9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Genesis 16:13, thou God seest me. And I want to show how God saw my life as a young man in West Virginia, in my home. Now, my people come from Russia. My grandfather was born in Moscow. My grandmother, who's a full-blooded Russian, was born in Austria. My other grandmother was born in Russia. I was raised in a home that we had problems. We had the major problem of alcohol. You know, the Word of God tells us in Proverbs 20, verse 1, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Put it down. When God says wine's a mocker, God means exactly what he states. And strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. I'm going to share with you how I made a mockery of my home. My grandmother from Russia, he was a man who was a man who drank all the time. I mean, we're talking a man who was literally a man with a bottle in his hand all the time. The sad thing about this, my grandfather never spoke one word to me. He was just a very violent, wild man, a heavy drinker. And when he was dying, my mother and dad were by his bedside. And they said, Jerry, as he was dying, he was screaming and crying out as he took his last breath as a drunkard in West Virginia. My other grandfather was a man who was murdered. They murdered my grandfather. My grandfather Savinsky. They robbed him, laid his body across the railroad tracks in such a position that when the train ran over his body, the train cut off both of his arms and both of his legs, and my grandpa died just 2 miles from my home. Well, my other grandmother made moonshine for a living. I mean, really made moonshine for a living. Supplied moonshine for a huge area where we lived. As a matter of fact, my father and mother told me that one day my father was going to take the money to the bank from the sale of moonshine. It was in one of his big trunks with a rounded lid on it. It was so full of money, Dad said the smallest piece of change was a 50-cent piece. My father said I literally had to stand on the lid to shut that trunk to take the money to the bank. As a matter of fact, she had several hundred thousands of dollars in the bank during the 20s. She also owned valuable land in West Virginia and down in Pennsylvania. She also owned many houses. However, she lost everything. I said she lost everything. Habakkuk 2:15 says, woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink. And my grandmother, when the banks went under, she lost all the money. She was swindled out of the land and all the homes. Lost entirely everything. But my grandmother, in her 70s, received Christ as her Savior. She cried before she got saved. She said to my mother, how could God save me? Look all the wickedness I have done, all the harm I've done to many homes. My mother said, Mom, that's why Jesus came. He came to save sinners. And my grandmother got saved in her 70s and followed Christ in believer's baptism. My grandfather, mother grandfather, who never spoke a word of English. My mother went down with our pastor, and my mother spoke fluent Lithuanian as well as Russian. And my mother interpreted the message to my grandpa. And he received Christ as his Savior. And when pastor said, now when you die, where will you go? My grandfather in Lithuania pointed his finger toward heaven and said he was going to go to heaven because of Jesus Christ. You know, I thank God that he got saved. But in the midst of all this drinking, my father was a man given over to alcohol. Now, my dad never drank until he was 25 years of age. And one day, my dad's best friend, Johnny, came to our home and said to my father, hey, Mike, I'd like to have you take one small glass of wine. Now, I'm telling you verbatim what my father told me now, okay? He said, Mike, take one small glass of wine. My father said, Johnny, I do not drink. Johnny said, come on, Mike, just take one small glass of wine. And my father said, okay, I'll take one glass and that's it. And my father then told me these exact words. He said, Jerry, When I took the first glass of wine to my lips, it tasted so good. I said, Johnny, give me another glass. And my father took another glass and another glass until my father became a very heavy drinker. I saw the reality of alcohol in my home. From the time I was a small boy until I was 17 years of age, I knew the reality of a father hooked on alcohol. My father was a man who drank vodka, golden gin, homebrew, moonshine that'll kill the average man. My father was a man, I saw him staggering to the yard every night. Every weekend, my father was drunk. My dad was a coal miner, by the way, and drinking became a way of life. And I tell you what, it made an impression upon my other two brothers. You see, my younger brother became an alcoholic, a drunk. My older brother became a very heavy drinker. And guess what? Before God saved me, my father gave me vodka and golden gin to drink. My grandmother gave me beer, whiskey, and wine to drink. My aunt would give me coffee to drink with wine in it, so my mother would not know. I'm telling you something, congregation. I stand here by the grace of God that I did not go like my brothers in alcohol. And alcohol is a major problem in our country. It's always appealing. Have you noticed? It's always young ladies, very attractive, pencil-thin young girls, handsome young men who are drinking. Never shows you the reality of those who are involved in alcohol. As someone wrote the drunkard's 23rd Psalm, King Alcohol is my shepherd. And I shall want, and I mean want, thou makest me to lie down in mud holes. Thou turnest my automobile upside down. Thou preparest an empty table before my family. Thou anointest my body with wounds, bruises, and sores. Surely sorrow and grief shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the doomed for all eternity. Hey, when the Word of God says wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise, the Bible means exactly what it states. But we've not had a problem of alcohol. We have a problem of religion. And by the way, this is my testimony here. I don't know who's here. Your man of God, pastor, has not said one thing about any of you. I don't know who's here. I'm giving my testimony, okay? I was raised a Roman Catholic. My dad had 15 brothers and sisters, all Catholics, Roman Catholics. My mother had 3 sisters, all raised Roman Catholics. I was baptized as a baby, as a Catholic. I crossed myself. I prayed every night. And we were religious people. Isn't it amazing? Religious and yet drunks, making moonshine. My mother's a bar lady in the tavern. My father was a bouncer in the tavern. Religion. We had religion. But one day, one of my cousins, I loved my cousin, he got saved. No, I did not know what the word saved meant, but my cousin Forrest was, the logo of West Virginia is Wild, Wonderful West Virginia. And by the way, my cousin Forrest was wild and wonderful. He really was. He was a wild man. Forrest was just a man that I greatly admired, although he lived a hard life. But he got saved. And all of my relatives began to criticize him. They said, have you heard what happened to Forrest? I said, no, what happened? They said, Jerry, he's gone crazy over religion. That's what I mean, he's gone crazy over religion. He said, Jerry, you won't believe this. He stopped smoking. What? Yeah. He stopped drinking. No. Yes. You won't believe this, Jerry. What? He stopped chewing Red Man tobacco. Every man chewed Red Man tobacco in West Virginia. I chewed Red Man tobacco in West Virginia. I got sick as a dog, but I chewed Red Man tobacco. They said, he's gone crazy over religion. One day he came to my home. Here I am, a teenager, 17 years of age. He comes to me and he said, hey, Jerry, I'd like to take you to church with me this coming Sunday. No, I did not know. I thought he was going to take me to a Catholic church, because there's always two we went to. And so I said, where we're going to go? He said, well, Jerry, I'm going to take you to a Baptist church. Well, I was 17. I never heard the word Baptist in my entire life. And I said to him, I said, what is a Baptist church like? And he said, oh, Jerry, it's a little different than the Catholic church. Well, my friend, that's an understatement. I'll tell you right now. You'll never appreciate this unless you're raised this way, okay? When I walked in my church, the Catholic church, I would always kneel. I would cross myself. I'd get up. I'd go to my pew. I'd kneel, cross myself. I got up. You put your hands in your lap like this. Everything real quiet, very formal. You kept your eyes on the priest, on the choir, back on the priest. Everything was like that. Very formal, very quiet. I walked in that Baptist church, and I never heard so much noise in my entire life. I mean, these Baptist people blowing their nose, laughing, scuffing their feet on the floor. I never heard such a racket in my life. I'm telling you, it bothered me. You know what? It would bother you if you're raised in that kind of religious environment. Everything bothered me until the man of God began to preach, because he preached in English. I never heard the Bible preached in English in the Catholic Church. And as that man spoke, as a teenager, my heart was touched. I did not know God loved me. I did not know that God gave us His Son to die for our sake. No one told me this, never. And I sat there like a sponge hearing the Word of God preached. When I got home that morning, I ran in the house. I said, Mom, where are you? She said, here, Jerry, what is it? I said, Mom, you've got to go to that church. That man speaks in English, Mom. You've got to go to church. My mother said, okay, Jerry, I'll go with you. I never saw my mother in church. You know, we're Catholics. Mom did not go to the Catholic church. Us boys went, but she never went. And so I went to the Catholic. I took my mother next Sunday. And you know what? I wanted to see my mother's response as the man of God began to preach. And so when the man began to preach, I didn't look at the preacher. I looked at my mom. I want to see how she would respond hearing the Word of God preached in English. And so when the man began to preach, my mother was sitting on the edge of the chair, taking in the Word of God. Her heart was open to the gospel. We got in the car. We began to go home. And my mother turned to me and said, Jerry, do you think we ought to go back to that Baptist church next Sunday? I said, Mom, I think we ought to go back. What do you think? She said, yes, I think we ought to go. Well, the next Sunday, a blizzard hit West Virginia. We got 2 feet of snow. Oh, you sissies out here in Arizona. Now, you're not sissies. But you get a little bit of snow like that, and there's a panic mode, if you even get that much. And here we are, 2 feet of snow, Roman Catholics, going to a Baptist church. And while we're going up the road, my mother turned to me and she said these exact words. She said, Jerry, do you think I should go forward today and get saved? Here I am. I'm not saved. I don't know the Bible. I turned to my mother. I said, Mom, I believe you ought to go forward and get saved today. And guess what, congregation? I was a soul winner before God even saved me. My mother got saved. You know, the very first sermon I ever preached was entitled, It's Real. Now, let me tell you something about my background. My entire life was consumed with the sports world, okay? In high school, I played football for the high school team for 3 years, both sides of the line. I played baseball in the outfield for 3 years. I was the fastest runner of the entire high school. I was also the fastest talker in the entire high school. I was the fastest typist as well. I used to type. Now, the heartbreaking thing about this is some of you kids won't even know what I'm talking about, but I used to get 112 words a minute on a manual typewriter. And you know, everything I do is fast. And I've always got to work on slowing down when I preach because my tendency is rapidity of speech, okay? But anyhow, I used to type 112 words per minute. And so my first sermon I preached was entitled, It's Real. I had it single-spaced on 6 sheets of paper, 8 half by 11 on both sides. And when I preached it, it lasted 5 minutes. So I really have come a long way now, haven't I? I think so. But it's real. It's real. Today, January 3rd, my mom was saved. 1960. I saw a woman's life full of profanity. Mouth changed just like that. A mother who taught Sunday school class from the time she was 40 till she was 85. Saw a mother going out soul winning every week. Saved today, back in 1960. It's real. I'm telling you, congregation, Christ can take a home and he can transform it. And so my mother and I got saved. We started going to church. We started talking to my dad about the Lord. My dad saw the great change in my life. By the way, I'm not proud of this, people. Look, there's nothing to brag about. I have 2 brothers. Of the 3 brothers, I was the worst of the 3. I planned a boy's death when I was 12 years of age. I'm not proud of this. I had a very uncontrollable temper, a Russian temper. I was preaching in West Virginia. My mother and dad were in the meeting that night. They were in the second row. And I told the congregation, I got more beatings than both of my brothers combined together. And I did. I said, if you don't believe me, ask my mother and my father at the close. They're here on the second row. At the close of the service, some people walked up to my mother and dad. And they said, well, Jerry wasn't as bad as he makes out he was he? And you'd have thought my parents rehearsed this. They both said together, lady, he was a lot worse. You know what? My mother did this to me. She said, come here, Jerry, and do something. I walk up to her. I said, no, I won't do it. Wham, right across the face. That's Russian discipline. And I'd look at her and I'd laugh at her. And as I told you, I won't do it. Wham, she smacked me again. I tell you, I had this uncontrollable, defiant spirit about me. I'm not proud of that fact. I'm going to tell you what, congregation. When Christ saved me, that all changed. Changed my life completely. I became a son who loved his mother. Called my mother every week of my life. I loved her. She's now in glory. But my dad, he saw the great change in my life. He saw the great change in my mother's life. And so I said, Dad, would you go to church one Sunday? My dad said, okay, I'll go one Sunday. And that Sunday, we had a man of God named Dr. Marvin Lewis from South Carolina preaching a revival meeting in our church. And that man of God gave the invitation. The first man down the aisle was my dad, Mike Savinsky. And the entire church began to weep. You know, they knew my dad's life. They knew the tavern my dad worked in. They knew my dad's violent temper. And my dad got saved, but I wondered, could God save a man like my dad? Look, people, we're talking moonshine, which is terrible, terrible stuff. We're talking golden gin, vodka, every week. We're talking of a lifestyle that's just nothing but just constantly going all the time. And I told my mother this. I said, well, no. If Dad got saved, by the way, he walks tomorrow night when he gets out of that truck. You see, Dad was a coal miner. My dad worked 1/2 mile down and 9 miles back in the hills of West Virginia. And so my dad, I waited over 1/2 hour for the truck to come down the road. And when the truck came down the road, I screamed at my mom. I said, Mom, go to the other window. Here comes Dad. My mother went to the other window. My dad got out of the truck. We had the door slammed. He came around the corner of the garage walking like this. He was sober. You hear me? He was sober. He sat down to eat supper. I sat on one side of the table. My mother sat on the other side of the table. And we sat there and we just stared at my dad. My dad stopped eating. He looked at me and said, "Jerry, is something wrong?" I said, "No, Dad. I just could not take my eyes off of him, congregation. He was sober." And then my mother, she was staring at him. And my dad stopped eating that second time. He said, "My mother, honey, is something wrong?" My mother's eyes were full of tears. She couldn't even speak. And she just shook her head like this. And then my father said these exact words. He said, "Honey, bring me your Bible." I never saw my dad hold the Bible in my entire life. My father only had a sixth grade education. Why? He had 15 brothers and sisters. And when my grandpa was murdered, he had to go to work. He dropped out of school in the sixth grade to supply for the family. My dad opened the Bible to the Gospel of John. My dad began to read. When he finished reading, he looked at me and my mom and said, "Would you mind if I prayed?" We said, "No, Dad." And my dad prayed. My dad got saved. I'm going to tell you what happened to my dad. My dad became a man who had a deep love for the Savior. From the time he was 62 until he was 72 when he died, he went out on the bus ministry for our church every week. I called my dad every week. Every week my dad would say to me, "Jerry, are you seeing people saved? Son, I am praying for you." I've never gotten over it. I thank God what the Lord did in my home. I thank God what he could do in your home. And you know what, congregation? I want to say this to you in closing. It's not the problem of what you're involved in. The problem is you have never recognized your source of coming to the Savior. Jesus says in Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And you'll never know rest till you come to Christ. And he can save you. Change your life like he changed the Savinsky home. Let's bow our heads and pray, please.